Michael Brown here. I am so glad we get to spend this time together on the Line of Fire. Sit back, enjoy the program. If it blesses you, share it with a friend. What if it could be conclusively demonstrated through archaeological finds that Jesus did not rise from the dead? Would that mean that his death was in vain and his teachings were not true?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Tackling the controversies, engaging the culture, challenging the status quo, and taking your calls. Dr. Brown is the director of Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Call now at 866-34-TRUTH and get into The Line of Fire.
Mike Lacona, who is a scholar on the resurrection of Jesus, said this: I've often asked evangelical Christians if they would abandon their Christian faith if a future team of archaeologists uncovered an ossuary containing the bones of Jesus with an old sheet of papyrus in which was written, "We fooled the world until today." It was signed by Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Peter, James, and Paul. If you could prove conclusively it wasn't forgery and literally the bones, the remains of Jesus were still in that burial tomb, would that mean our faith was in vain? Michael Brown, thank you for joining us today on the Line of Fire. 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-348-7884. Get into the discussion on Facebook. Ask Dr. Brown. That's Ask Dr. Brown. Become one of our ministry friends there on Facebook. I had a guest on the show yesterday, and we approached him about being on the show when I noticed a book he had written called saying that Jesus was a liberal and that Jesus would have different views on abortion and same-sex marriage and things like that. So I was curious to have dialogue with someone with whom I obviously differed on many different points. He was a Unitarian Universalist minister. But he was a little reluctant to come on the show because he didn't want to be in an argumentative setting with a hostile conservative host. And we assured him, though we had our differences, that we would be friendly and gracious in the midst of those. And because of that in particular, I did not want to come across as cross-examining him and constantly attacking positions that obviously were very, very contrary in many ways from what we hold to and believe on the Line of Fire broadcast. And of course, he was gracious in presenting his views. But I wanted to revisit a couple of things that came up. I want to revisit them and talk them through so we understand why we believe certain things we believe. So my question to you, 866-34-TRUTH. Let's say, this is purely theoretical, okay? It's purely theoretical. It ain't going to happen, all right? But theoretically, as Michael Lacona asks, it can be demonstrated that the tomb of Jesus is actually found, Yeshua's actual tomb, and there's actual some way to prove through DNA, somehow, that his remains are actually there. In other words, he did not physically, literally rise from the dead. Should we therefore throw out the New Testament? Should we therefore renounce our faith in Jesus as Savior and Lord? Or can you hold to a view like our guest yesterday, that it was enough for the disciples to have visions of his resurrection and believe that he rose, even though he really didn't rise? If he didn't rise, is our faith in vain? What's so important about the physical, literal resurrection of Jesus? We'll talk about that today on the program. I'm also going to answer a couple of email questions that tie in with some historical aspects of the New Testament. Is it reliable? But I think it's important that we not just believe certain things, but we know why we believe them. We know the significance of believing them. And we have strong reasons to present to people who challenge what we believe. So we'll be getting into that today. Also, make sure you're listening carefully through the broadcast. I have on my desk right here in my hand two beautiful paperback copies of the Gospels in the new Tree of Life version, Eitz Chaim in Hebrew, Tree of Life, with beautiful illustrations along the way, very, very nicely laid out. It's a new translation that will be of the entire Bible. It's got some notes, practical notes in the back, a glossary. But it's a nicely done translation that any Christian could easily use, but it has sensitivity to Jewish roots of the faith. It has sensitivity to Jewish terms and background. I was not able to be involved in the project early on, but I got involved along the way, as the project is moving on, reading some of the translation of certain books of the New Testament, giving my input on it. So I've been really pleased and impressed with it. I've got two of these to give away. In fact, why don't we get started? All right, are you ready? Are you ready? I'm going to read a quote. You have to tell me which of these five people said it, all right? First, I'll give you the names of the five people. Was it Winston Churchill? Was it Joseph Stalin? Was it Thomas Jefferson? Was it John Adams? Was it JFK, John F. Kennedy? All right, are you ready for the quote? Some people like the Jews and some do not, but no thoughtful man can deny the fact that they are beyond any question the most formidable and the most remarkable race which has appeared in the world. You are not allowed to type that in online. You have to take a guess or just know it or look it up some other way, but you cannot type it in online. That's cheating. How are you going to cheat and then win a Bible translation? Come on, you couldn't live with yourself. Every time you pick it up, you'd be convicted and you'd have to send it back to us, okay? So you have to just take a stab, 866-34-TRUTH. Some people like the Jews and some do not, but no thoughtful man can deny the fact that they are, beyond any question, the most formidable and the most remarkable race which has appeared in the world. Who said it? Was it Churchill, Stalin, Jefferson, Adams, or JFK? 866-34-TRUTH. Just take a stab. And the more people that call in and get it wrong, the better chance you have of getting it right. One more thing before we get into this issue of the resurrection of Jesus. Remember, 1 week from today, this will be the first time we've ever done this. We are having a Line of Fire listeners luncheon, a radio rally, a free luncheon. We'll be meeting with you, giving a free CD to everyone that comes. It will be at the Golden Corral at Haynes Mall in Winston-Salem. My dear friend and colleague, Stu Epperson, will be there joining us. And we want to get to know you, introduce ourselves face to face, give you more vision of what's happening beyond the line of fire, some of the things we're involved in that will really bless you, encourage you, some amazing opportunities that lie ahead, and spend some time with you, answer some of your questions. We'll do an Ask Dr. Brown segment as well. So that'll be 12 noon, ending by 2 at the latest. You'll have plenty of time to get in and to get out. If you are able to come, you can either call in our regular number, 866-34-TRUTH, and tell Joey that you'll come, or call this number, 888-378-FIRE, 888-378-3473. Just say that you'll be coming and how many people will be there. We don't have child care, so this is not the time to come with like 40 kids from the neighborhood, all right? So we're inviting our listeners to come and to the and be with us. 888-378-FIRE, if you can come. Let us know that you'll be coming. Let us know how many people will be coming with you. Seating is limited, but we'd love to see as many of you as possible. Or you can let us know through our website. Just drop us a line at askdrbrown.org. That's a week from today, Thursday, February 24th, noon, Golden Corral, Haynes Mall. Lunch on us, and we'll have some great time together there. All right? So the question of the resurrection of Jesus. First thing. Does the New Testament tell us it literally happened? Does the New Testament allege that Jesus literally rose from the dead? Let's start there and ask what's presented. Our guest yesterday said, well, the way it's presented, obviously it wasn't a literal resurrection that you could photograph, that you could actually show a picture of Jesus that after he had risen, if you could photograph back then, that they had visions that he rose, but in fact he didn't get out of the tomb. What does the New Testament present? Remember, on a number of occasions, Jesus said that he would be put to death and he would rise from the dead on the third day. He didn't say you'll have visions, I'll rise from the dead, or you'll imagine I'm rising from the dead, or you'll be inspired by the thought of my allegedly rising, but I will die. Did he die? Yes. Was he literally crucified as he said he would be? Yes. 3 days later, he would rise. He told other Jewish leaders in his day, John 2, destroy this temple and I will raise it up after 3 days. Was the temple of his body, of which he was speaking, literally destroyed? Yes, he was literally killed. Did he literally rise 3 days later? The New Testament says that plainly. That the accounts about the tomb being empty, though, did they all just hallucinate that the tomb was empty the same way? No, the account is being presented I'm asking, what does the New Testament present? That he literally was raised from the dead, was no longer in that tomb, and that he literally appeared to people. In some cases, their eyes were closed, so they couldn't recognize him. God can do that. That happens historically, that God does not let the people hear and understand until a certain point in time, and then their ears are open. In some cases, their eyes were open, and then they realized, was he supernaturally resurrected? Sure, he could walk through a wall. There was something different, but was he literally resurrected? The New Testament overwhelmingly tells us that he was. If he did not literally rise, then one account after another in the New Testament are all bogus, all false, and the whole thing can't be trusted. But there's a whole lot more about the resurrection of Jesus. We'll talk about it. Stay with us. Welcome back, friends, to the Line of Fire. We are talking about the resurrection of Jesus, the literal physical resurrection of Jesus. Can you hold to biblical faith while denying that? If he did not rise from the dead, can we still follow him as a great teacher? Does his death atone for our sins if he didn't rise? Michael Brown, thank you for joining us. 866-34-TRUTH. Online, askdrbrown.org. Click on the Line of Fire. All right. Let's go ahead with giving away the Gospels, beautiful new translation of the Gospels, the Tree of Life Bible, beautiful illustrations, really nice illustrations along the way, good Hebrew touch and feel for the translation. I'll read the quote again, and you have to just take a stab. You're not allowed to type this in online and find out who said this. You have to take a stab. All right, here's the quote. Some people like the Jews and some do not, but no thoughtful man can deny the fact that they are, beyond any question, the most formidable and the most remarkable race which has appeared in the world. Who said it? Was it Winston Churchill, Joseph Stalin, Thomas Jefferson, John Adams, John F. Kennedy? 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-348-7884. Take a guess. Worst you can be is wrong. The more people guess, the better chance we have of somebody getting it right. Okay. We'll get to some calls shortly. The New Testament clearly presents that Jesus literally rose from the dead. He predicted that he would, and not only did it predict that he would, Jesus said that he would rise. It's clearly spelled out that he was no longer in the tomb. He made clear to his disciples, touch me. Look, this is me. Look, you see where I was pierced. You see where I was crucified. And a spirit doesn't have flesh and blood, and flesh and bones, excuse me, as you see I have. I'm not just a spirit. If this is just a hallucination, there's no validity to his death. There's no validity to his teaching because he's just another man. His resurrection from the dead demonstrates that he is not just another man, that he is uniquely the Son of God, that he is the Savior. It puts the seal on what he did on the cross, and by rising from the dead, he breaks the power of death and assures us of our resurrection. If he doesn't rise, we don't rise. So people may revere his teaching, but if they fail to recognize the importance of his death on the cross, which we'll talk about further in a moment, and how this is then sealed and verified by his resurrection from the dead, and it's through the resurrection that he breaks the power of death, and through that ascends on high to sit with his Father, enthroned with his Father, ruling and reigning over all creation. Without the resurrection, none of that happens. Without the resurrection, there's no living power in the name of Jesus. It is just merely a memory of a great teacher and religious leader. You better believe. You better believe. It is crucially important to understand that he physically, literally rose from the dead. All right, our first guest, Jackie in High Point, North Carolina. What's your guess? Who said it?
Winston Churchill.
Winston Churchill. Now, what makes you think it was Winston Churchill?
Because I figured he came around the time of Hitler and when they were defending the Jews. I don't know.
Well, you took all the suspense out of it and got it right on the very first guess.
Really?
Good for you, Jackie. You had a 20% chance of getting it, and you thought it through, and you got it. All right, stay on hold. We'll get your info, and we'll mail this Bible out to you. I'm sure you'll enjoy it. Thank you. All right. Well, that was too easy. Good job, Jackie. Let's try another quote. All right. I'm gonna use four of the same five, but I'm gonna be adding in another name. Perhaps this is the name of the person in question. Maybe this is the one that's gonna be it. All right, you ready? I will insist the Hebrews have contributed more to civilized man than any other nation. If I was an atheist and believed in blind eternal fate, I should still believe that fate had ordained the Jews to be the most essential instrument for civilizing the nations. They're the most glorious nation that ever inhabited this earth. The Romans and their empire were but a bubble in comparison to the Jews. They have given religion to three-quarters of the globe and have influenced the affairs of mankind more and more happily than any other nation, ancient or modern. Quite a quote, isn't it? Quite an interesting quote. Who said that? Was it our current president, Barack Obama? Was it hostile Joseph Stalin, perhaps talking with admiration? Was it one of our early presidents, Thomas Jefferson, or another early president, John Adams? Or was it a more recent president, John F. Kennedy? 86634-TRUTH. I've got one more Tree of Life Bible, the Gospels, to give away. In fact, let me just read a little bit from this. Oh, what's a good passage? How about somewhere in the Gospel of Luke? How about Luke 24? And on the first day of the week at daybreak, the women came to the tomb carrying the spices they had prepared. They found the stone had been rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Yeshua. And while they were perplexed about this, suddenly two men in dazzling clothes stood beside them. The women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you search for the living among the dead? He is not here, but he is risen. Remember what he told you when he was still in the Galilee, saying that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be executed, and on the third day rise up." Nicely written, nicely said there. Again, it has sensitivity to Jewish roots, previous chapter, verse 54, and that was the preparation day, and Shabbat was approaching, the Hebrew way of saying Sabbath. It's got cross-references, good number of notes, and again, lovely illustrations. And I have the joy now of helping as a reader, translation reader, looking at the translation, helping sharpen and improve it for the rest of the New Testament. But the Gospels are already out and available. You see, when you read that, there's no question that the New Testament wants to present to us he rose. He's not among the dead. He's among the living. He's not in the grave, a physical, literal resurrection. To say that it's simply a matter of people had visions or hallucinations or dreams or they thought he was risen. Well, you might as well have thought anything. You might as well have thought anybody had risen. You might as well have thought Moses had risen or someone else had risen. You might as well have thought that it was John the Baptist risen. I mean, why not? It's just an imagination. No, there is literal resurrection. He literally rose. He literally is alive. And when Peter preaches in Acts chapter 2, he says, David's still in the tomb. Jesus, Yeshua, is not. That's what makes the distinction. That's what verifies his prophetic words. That's what singles him out as different than anyone who ever lived and died up to that point. All right, back to the phones. Doreen in Layton, Utah, what's your guess?
I hope it's President John Adams.
All right, what makes you think John Adams?
Just the dignified way that the quote was worded, and I've always loved him as a president and loved the Jewish people.
All right, you and Jackie, you guys are too good today. No suspense at all. You both got it on the first guess. Thank you, Doreen, and for
wonderful.
Great reasons. Stay there, and we will get this sent out to you. Stay on the line. Man, by the way, I'm in New York, and we say guys, it's two ladies. It's just generic. Very sharp, very impressive. Well done. Maybe I'll give away one more thing and try to get you stumped on a quote. Stay with us. All right, tell you what, we gave away two Tree of Life Bibles, the Gospels, new translation that is in the process of coming out. We gave them away, folks got things on the very first call twice, which is, I can't remember that happening. So I'm gonna give away one more. But remember, if you'd like a free buffet lunch at the Golden Corral, a free CD with some of my best messages, and some face-to-face time with yours truly. It's all happening 1 week from today. That is Thursday, February 24th at the Golden Corral in Winston-Salem at Haynes Mall. All right? If you're going to be there, we just need a head count because seating is limited. We're going to have a room to ourselves. We're going to tell you about the Line of Fire. We're going to tell you about some amazing things happening outside of the Line of Fire, beyond what we're doing. Get to know you. And it's going to be a great time sharing together. And, hey, it's Golden Corral, so lunch is on us. If you're going to be joining us, we need you to let us know. So just give us a call at 888-378-FIRE, 888-378-3473. Just tell us you'll be there and how many people will be coming with you. All right? We'll start at 12 noon. If you've got a busy schedule, you'll be out by 2 at the latest. You can leave a little earlier if you need to. You can also shoot us a note on the website, askdrbrown.org. Askdrbrown.org. Just shoot us a note. Tell us you'll be coming to the event. It is our first ever Line of Fire listeners lunch in a time of appreciation, time of getting to know one another. All right. One more quote for you, and then I'm going to go back to talking about the importance of the resurrection, talking about the significance of the death of Jesus, and answering a couple of historically related questions having to do with aspects of, does the New Testament give us historical information? It's one thing to have beautiful, inspiring truth. Somebody said it. I don't know who said it, but it's beautiful. Wow. Here's some bumper sticker. Practice random acts of kindness. Oh, who said it? Was it a Muslim teacher, a Buddhist teacher, a Christian teacher? Who knows? Oh, it's a nice saying. I'll do that. You know, whatever. But when we're talking about a system of faith based on historical events, that there was a literal people of Israel, and this literal people of Israel was literally rescued from Egypt, and that God literally appeared to them and spoke to them and gave them commands, and that through this people of Israel, a Savior and Messiah came into the world, and he was literally born, and he literally died, and he literally rose from the dead. If those things are not historical truths, we have to throw the book out. Oh, it may have some inspirational sayings, but it has no authority. It is not God speaking to us, and it doesn't have the power to save and change us. Okay, here's a quote for you. You're going to have to tell me who said it. Again, we've got five choices for you, this time more varied. You are not allowed to type this in online, all right? You have to just take a stab. 866-34-TRUTH when you're ready. Passivity is fatal to us. Our goal is to make the enemy passive. Let me read that again. Passivity is fatal to us. Our goal is to make the enemy passive. Who said it? Was it Joseph Stalin? Was it Mao Zedong? Was it gay activist Joe Salmanese? Was it early Christian leader Polycarp? Or was it football player James Harrison of the Pittsburgh Steelers? Passivity is fatal to us. Our goal is to make the enemy passive. I will find one more copy of the Tree of Life Bible, the Gospels, to give away to whoever gets this correct. 866-34-TRUTH. Take a stab. Nothing wrong with being wrong. And the more people that get wrong answers, the better chance that you will be the caller with the right answer. The death of Jesus. What was its significance? What was so important about it? Was it merely that Jesus died because he was in political opposition to the Romans? Was it mainly that Jesus died because the Jewish establishment didn't like him? Was it mainly that Jesus died because he was a misunderstood leader? Was it mainly that he died because he was showing us an example of self-sacrificing love? All that's really secondary. The New Testament tells us Jesus said he gave his life as a ransom. The New Testament tells us that it's the blood of Jesus that cleanses us from sin. his immediate followers all understood that his death was vicarious. It was substitutionary. It was the innocent for the guilty. It was the fulfillment of what the sacrificial system pointed to. We sinned. We deserved death. He, the perfect Son of God, took on his shoulders the sin, the guilt of us all, so that we, dying to sin, could now live for God. If he did not die for us, we would have no hope, no salvation today. If he did not rise from the dead, then the effect of his death would not be known. The reality of his vicarious death would not be known. It would not have been sealed in that sense. And thus, his death would have been in vain without his resurrection. Death and resurrection of Jesus, the central core of everything that we believe, and that on which the teaching of his life is built, on the truth of his death and resurrection. You meddle with that, you meddle with the foundations of the faith. And our guest yesterday, as we dialogued about these things, again, I was not going to aggressively challenge every point he made. I trust that as he was making points very, very contrary to things we would hold to, it was all self-evident to you, but maybe you're not as familiar with these things. Maybe you're a new listener. So I want to reiterate again that the death of Jesus was not just some inspirational thing or something that happened because of political friction. It was the intended plan of God. God gave his Son for us. Whoever believes in him would not perish, would not die, would not be destroyed, would not be cut off from God and suffer, but rather have eternal life. 866-34-TRUTH. Vicki in Kernersville, what's your take? Who said it?
I would love to make a comment about what you're speaking about, too.
Oh, please, start there. Please
do. And I just kind of came in on, I just got off work a few minutes ago. One of my favorite scriptures, and I'm like, who said the scripture? And I was like, Paul the Apostle said the scripture, who was a full Jew, knew full everything, and was like totally, you know, jot and tittle, you know, law, you know? But he in Romans, and it's one of my favorite scriptures, it's like, the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives in me,
mm-hmm.
and resurrect, you know, lives in us. So, you know, Paul the Apostle, who wasn't even really a disciple of Jesus, you know, wasn't even around when Jesus, I mean, he was around, but you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know more than I do. We're all brothers and sisters in the Lord, right? But that's one of my favorite scriptures. And he wasn't even, you know, I was thinking, you know, he wasn't even one of the disciples that walked with Jesus, you know. So
think of the reality of this. If Jesus literally didn't rise from the dead, then this whole thing about the spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in us, it's all meaningless. It's just it's just empty words and drivel. Exactly.
Yeah, but I know better. So, amen?
Yes, you do. Thank God.
Amen.
Thank God.
Amen. But you know what? I'm going to take a stab and say it's the football guy. I don't even watch football.
Well, I'm glad I finally stumped somebody. Every answer so far today has been perfect, but thankfully you had something wonderfully important to say about the resurrection.
Yes, that's
quote
what I wanted to say more than winning the Bible. So,
all right.
So,
well, good. Anyway. Good for you. Thank you, Vicki.
Thank you.
I appreciate the call.
Bye-bye.
God bless. You know, I just kind of last minute decided to throw in James Harrison of the Steelers. He's one of the roughest, toughest players in the NFL. So it's not James Harris. So here is the quote again. Who said it? Let me read it to you. Passivity is fatal to us. Our goal is to make the enemy passive. Was it Stalin? Was it Mao? Was it gay activist Joe Solomonese? Was it early Christian leader Polycarp? It was not James Harrison. Back with more. All right, 866-34-TRUTH. Michael Brown with you on the line of fire. I was just looking during the break at our Ask Dr. Brown Facebook page with lots of new articles and links to videos and other materials and great discussion from many of our listeners. So that's all there, just for free, online at Ask Dr. Brown on Facebook. Okay, here's the quote again, giving away the third and last copy of the Tree of Life translation of the Gospels. Who said this? Passivity is fatal to us. Our goal is to make the enemy passive. Was it Joseph Stalin? Was it Mao Zedong? Was it gay activist Joe Solomonese? Was it early church leader Polycarp? All right, Debbie in Franklin, Massachusetts, what's your guess?
Oh, now that you just said the question again, you're making me change my mind.
Well,
Well, I'm doing this because my son wants this book really bad, and he gave me an answer. So I don't know if I should say what he wants me to say. Or
tell you what. How old is your son?
He's 19.
19. All right, tell you what. We'll give you – first, tell us your son's answer. You're going to have to strike out twice to miss it. Tell us your son's answer.
He said the gay activist.
All right. Okay. Well, it's not the gay activist, and it's not in my previous list the football player. So we're all right.
My guess was Stalin.
Stalin. All right. You know what?
No!
You missed two, but you can always just order this. All right.
Okay.
Just to be fair, I would send it out otherwise, but you can order it. All right.
All right.
Thanks for the try. Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
866-34-TRUTH. Oh man, it wasn't Stalin, and it wasn't gay activists. Just Salman, it was either, check out who we're left with, either Mao Tse-Tung or the early church leader Polycarp, one of the two. Who was it? Let me answer a question that ties in with the historical truth and accuracy of the New Testament. Jim asked this. Hello, Dr. Brown. I know you're busy, so it's okay if a response takes a while, but here's another one of my questions. Is there any historical proof outside of the New Testament that first century Jews got stoned to death for blasphemy? I will give you a skeptical challenge I got years ago, and it has lingered with me ever since because I didn't have a good answer for it. Here's the claim. It's total hype that Jesus' life was always in danger. Only in the biased New Testament do we have evidence that a person would be stoned to death for blasphemy claiming to be Son of God. Just like C.S. Lewis said, Jesus would be labeled a lunatic, lord, or a liar. That's all. Jesus blasphemed in front of the Jewish high priest himself. What was the result? Even he couldn't put him to death because it was against their laws. They had to present him to the Roman authority under the guise of someone who told people not to pay taxes or under the guise of a self-proclaimed king who led a rebellion. Oh, okay, I don't have time to read the entire quote. There's no question that Jesus had to be turned over to the authorities for there to be a formal death penalty, because the Jews couldn't carry that out. The Romans had to. There's also no question that there could be a crowd uprising like there was against Stephen, and someone could be stoned to death. And some of the Jewish laws that we have about blasphemy trials and specific aspects of that come from a good 100 to even 200 years after the time of Jesus. We can't say that they were necessarily in effect in Jesus' day. What's clear is that when he said that he'd be sitting at the right hand of power, that he'd be coming in the clouds, when he ascribed to himself some aspect of divinity, that was what was considered blasphemy. Therefore, they were going to send him to Pilate to be killed. So that fits in with historical evidence as we would have it. There's nothing contrary in the account that would tell us that this couldn't be. And it doesn't say it's a full Sanhedrin. There were irregularities in what was happening because there was an uproar. There was concern what in the world is going to happen. But I think what's very important is to recognize what we do know in history after that. We do know for sure that the record of Jesus' death is recorded and recognized in the ancient world. But his followers were persecuted and killed. And his followers are persecuted and killed to this day. Why? Why the controversy? Why people so upset? Why all the attack on Jesus? Because the very same one that died and rose was a threat in his life and continues to be a threat in his ongoing life. There's a great section in the book, new book, by edited by Darrell Bach and Robert Webb. Get the paperback edition. It's a lot less than the hardcover. Key Events in the Life of the Historical Jesus. Great section by Darrell Bach condensing his years of study on the whole question of blasphemy and the trial of Jesus. All right. One more call. Mark in Charlotte. What's your guess, sir?
My guess is Mao.
Mao Tse-Tung. You win the Tree of Life Gospel Bible. I'm glad you didn't guess Polycarp.
Thank you, man.
stay on the line, and we'll get your address and send it out to you. All right. It was Mao Tse-Tung who said, passivity is fatal to us. Our goal is to make the enemy passive. But for sure, there is a lot of spiritual application to our own lives today. That the enemy of our souls, and those that oppose the things that we hold dear, would like to make us passive in our beliefs, in our speech, in our actions. And passivity in that sense is fatal. Let us give ourselves to holy, loving, compassionate, truth-filled action. We come back, I'm going to read you what some scholars say about the historicity of the resurrection of Jesus. the resurrection of Jesus, the literal physical resurrection of Jesus, is at the foundation of our faith, friends. And we have every reason to hold to it, not only by historical evidence, but by the reality of our radically changed lives. That, listen, my life was changed by the power of the gospel before I ever did any historical study. My life was changed by the power of the gospel before I explored other explanations or alleged explanations for the resurrection of Jesus. My life was changed because in Jesus' name, God still works and moves. And the same things that Jesus did are being done by his followers, by the Spirit, further evidence of his resurrection. Let me read to you from the book Darrell Bock and Robert Webb, Key Events in the Life of the Historical Jesus. It came out from a German publisher in hardcover. It was probably $150. Now it's maybe $40 or something on sale online in paperback. And it's, 900-plus pages. This along with Craig Keener's book on historical Jesus. Great, great evangelical resources. And Grant Osborne, writing on Jesus' empty tomb and his appearance in Jerusalem, says this: "Here we must ask, what could account for the rise of early Christianity and the transformation of the disciples into a force that could change the world? What could explain the change from self-centered individuals to the incredible ethical movement that Christianity became? What would cause the core story to highlight women and have its leaders look so unbelieving at the start? Should the post-Enlightenment worldview predominate with its naturalistic bias against supernatural events? It is best to approach the issue with as open a mind as possible, a position supported by the post-Einsteinian view of natural law. This essay has contended that a genuine resurrection event supplies the best explanation for why we have the creed of a resurrection hope early on, as well as the accounts of the empty tomb and the appearances. This case has been made using the criteria of historical Jesus study and setting these events in their conceptual and historical background. With this perspective, the most natural conclusion would be that there is a personal God who acted that remarkable day and raised Jesus from the dead." N.T. Wright's conclusion is apropos. "Not only does a true bodily resurrection provide a sufficient condition for an empty tomb and appearances, it provides a necessary condition for these things. In other words, no other explanation could or would do. All the efforts to find alternative explanations fail, and they were bound to do so." Maybe even next month I will have Mike Lacona on with us to discuss his book on the historical reasons to believe in the resurrection of Jesus. But I want to encourage you, friend, to take hold of the reality of the name of Jesus, the power of the name of Jesus, the power of his death, the power of his resurrection, not just some religious myth, not just some sentimental story. So friends, my bottom line: Jesus died, not just in a political uprising, not just because of religious tension, not just because of jealousies or other reasons. He died because it was the will of the Father, because God gave his Son to pay for the sins of the world so that God could make a public demonstration of the ugliness and horror of sin, and that Jesus could bear on his shoulders in substitutionary atonement the guilt of the world. And by dying for our sins and rising from the dead, he provides our forgiveness and our justification. And we are raised spiritually with him now and will be raised physically with him just as he was raised. If he didn't rise, as Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, our faith is in vain. Because he rose, glory to God forever. We will live with him. Hey, friends, personal invitation. I would love to see you next week at our listeners' luncheon, Golden Corral, Haynes Mall, Winston-Salem, 1 week from today, February 24th, 12 o'clock sharp. We'll start together, have a great time hanging out, sharing our lives together. If you're able to make it, we need a head count, 888-378-FIRE. Just give us a call and tell us that you'll be there and how many people will be coming with you. Or contact us through the website, askdrbrown.org.